This is a Triple J podcast.
Hack. Only 2 weeks ago, we were excited, waiting to hear who'd be on the Splendor lineup for this year. The Queen of Pop, Kylie Minogue, alongside Future, Arcade Fire, G-Flip, Royal Lotus, heaps of your favourites were set to take the stage in July. Tickets went on sale last week, and then today, the devastating news that Splendor 2024 is off. It's been cancelled. Hey, it's Ellie Grounds here, filling in for Dave Marchese on the Hack podcast. We're going to go deep on Splendor's cancellation because this is just the latest in what feels like a long list of festivals to call it quits recently. So what the hell is going on in Australia's live music industry? And how do the artists who were meant to play Splendor feel about it suddenly being called off? We're going to speak to some. First, though, a drug cover-up scandal in one of the country's favourite sports.
Hack. A federal MP has called on the government to investigate serious allegations of secret drug testing and cocaine cover-ups in the AFL
on Triple J.
Secret drug tests, faking injuries, a cover-up so that players who test positive to cocaine don't end up on the field on game day. Those are the wild allegations that a politicians made in Parliament about AFL team the Melbourne Demons. A lot of us are pretty used to stories of footy players using drugs, but the suggestion that clubs are doing under-the-table drug tests and then encouraging players to fake injuries if they test positive has rocked the Aussie sporting world today. And there's even the suggestion that the former chief medical officer for the AFL was in on it too. So, what is going on here? Hack reporter Angus McIntosh explains.
Deputy Speaker, I rise to bring the House's attention to deeply troubling allegations of egregious misconduct within the AFL.
It's not the kind of thing you usually hear politicians talk about in Parliament. But last night, Tassie Independent MP Andrew Wilkie got up and used something called parliamentary privilege to make one very big allegation. He reckons there's a cocaine use cover-up at the AFL, specifically at the Melbourne Demons.
Here is what happened as it has been described to me. The AFL wants the player to play at all costs, and so the cover-up begins. If there are no illegal drugs in the player's system, they are free to play. And if there are drugs in their system, the player is often asked to fake an injury. They're advised to lie about their condition.
Wilkie reckons what happens is a system of off-the-book tests before game day. The players who receive a positive test to drugs like cocaine are told to fake an injury. Wilkie reckons that protects them from the official match day testing, so the drug testing group Sports Integrity Australia doesn't have to find out. And, he says, former D's officials, including the former club doctor, told him it's common practice. And the AFL's former chief medical officer was in on it too.
This isn't just a Melbourne problem. It's an AFL problem, with multiple players coming to Melbourne from other teams with pre-existing cocaine dependencies.
So what has the club got to say? Well, Melbourne coach Simon Goodwin says he'll look into it.
Absolutely we will. I think every person in clubland would want answers, and we're no different to that. We've been through a bit, but as I said, this is an AFL policy, and we'll be asking the appropriate questions and getting the answers that we need.
AFL CEO Andrew Dillon talked to journos today too, and he didn't deny the allegations.
Well, what we're talking about is a doctor and a player who's their patient and private medical information of that player, which is the private medical information of that player, and it's that player's decision to disclose or not.
Coaches of other teams like Essendon and Sydney reckon it's all news to them.
I can unequivocally say in my time in football, I've never been alerted to the fact that a player has tested positive to an illicit substance. I'm not part of that process, and to my knowledge, no senior coach is.
It's certainly not a practice or behaviour that I've been privy to.
Andrew Wilkie wanted to release documents he says he's received detailing all of this, but today he couldn't get the votes to do it in Parliament. Independent MP Zoe Daniel supports Wilkie. She says she's seen what the documents he's got lay out.
This is a matter of trust, and it's a matter of player welfare. If one thing convinced me to make this speech, it was this line in the doctor's sworn statement. Right now, he says, I would not let my children play AFL.
Under the AFL's drug rules at the moment, players caught using drugs get 3 strikes. First a fine, then a 4-game suspension, and then a 12-match ban. The code says it's reviewing that policy now, and hopes there'll be changes later this year.
Hack on Triple J.
Angus McIntosh there. Time to get into that big story of the day.
Hack.
Splendor in the Grass 2024 has been cancelled and it's pretty sad.
On Triple J.
Yeah, you bought your tickets, you were organising your outfits, texting your mates to figure out who was going to bring the tent, gearing up to catch some of the huge acts at this year's Splendor in the Grass. But then earlier today, the news came through. Splendor 2024 cancelled. Devastating for so many fans and for the artists who were meant to be getting up on the stage. The festival says due to unexpected events, it's taking this year off. But will it be back? These days, it kind of feels like festivals cancelling is the norm, not the exception. We're going to get into all of it in a bit. Why was this decision made? What does it mean for the future of live music? And how do the artists who were meant to be playing Splendor feel? But first, here's Angel Parsons to bring you up to speed.
Splendor's website had a countdown clock going for the last few weeks, hyping up the 113 days, hours, minutes and seconds until one of Australia's favourite music festivals was meant to kick off. But that seems pretty grim now. Just a week after tickets went on sale to the general public, there's nothing to count down to. Splendor released a statement saying that due to unexpected events, it'll be taking the year off and that ticket holders will be refunded automatically. The co-founders said they're heartbroken to be missing a year and that they hope to be back in the future. Splendor's lineup was only released 2 weeks ago. Artists like Kylie Minogue, G-Flip, Turnstile, Tash Sultana and Angie McMahon were going to perform in Byron Bay in July. But now, Splendor has become the latest in a long string of festival cancellations in Australia.
Really make or break right now, the current climate.
Today's announcement feels a bit like deja vu. Only last month, Hack was talking to music reporter Al Newstead about Groovin' the Moo being cancelled.
Splendor didn't sell out for the first time in years, last year as well. So, yeah, look, it's very shaky landscape at the moment and I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some more cancellations.
Off its chops. Hipster.
Having a good time and getting up to no good as well.
To get an idea of how dire things are right now, here's a bit of a throwback.
Good enough, mate. This is my yearly explosion on life.
You need to look impressive, there's impressive music, and you need to match it.
Why not get some nipple tassels, or whatever they are, nipple diamantes, and put them on my nipples?
Loving it.
Hello.
Splendor in the Grass has been the best experience
having,
for me. We're having the best time here. And these are our boys! Yeah, boys! Yeah.
People have loved it for decades. Some have even referred to it as Australia's Glastonbury. It's big, it's fun, and look, yeah, it can get messy. Like there was the notorious Splendor of 2022, the one with the mud.
We weren't expecting it to be this bad, so.
Fucking terrible. It's like, yeah, you can't walk anywhere, it's just covered in shit. And like all your campsites are all drowning and like your tents are getting soaked.
10-hour drive to get in and then the mud and rain to set up.
You can see the conditions, like we're sitting in mud. There's no answers either, very little communication.
At the time, Hack asked Splendor what the go was.
How much of a hit has this had on your bottom line? Like, are we going to see a Splendor next year? Are you going to have to increase ticket prices to recoup funds? Can people expect things like that?
Of course, Splendor will be. That's why we're so keen to push ahead with it. It was really important for it to happen and we will definitely be back next year and beyond.
The hour of Splendor in the Grass.
And I stumbled on this ad from a few years ago looking back at the history of the festival and one thing really stuck out.
They were going, and soon tickets were selling out in just 36 hours.
How times have changed. Last year, Splendor in the Grass, back from the mud year, did not sell out. And in 2024, meant to be Splendor's 22nd festival, it's joined a list of struggling events.
The Falls Festival, Vintage Vibes, Valleyways, Coastal Jams.
This, that at Sandstone Point and Newcastle, also Parting the Plains in Deniliquin.
And the fact that all this is affecting the biggest festivals in Australia now with Splendor is really saying something. It even got brought up in Parliament today.
People may think that this is just some type of entertainment that can go to the wayside.
That's Greens Senator and spokesperson for the arts, Sarah Hanson-Young, calling for urgent support for the music industry.
I want to remind the government and the Minister for Arts, Mr. Burke, that arts and music is such an important part of what makes life great. It also is an important part of our economy.
This is Hack on Triple J.
Angel Parsons reporting there. Hearing from you on the text line, someone says, I miss Big Day Out. Another person says, yes, the artists should be angry, but not at Splendor. They should be angry at the government for putting the live music industry in this situation. And someone on Instagram says, hope all organisers, promoters and artists keep their chins up. You will be back and better than ever. Yeah, a lot of love for the artists who got that sad news today that they won't be playing Splendor. So how were those artists actually holding up? Well, one of them is Keita Alexander, and she's with us now. Keita, thanks for coming on Hack.
Thank you so much for having me.
Big news today. How are you feeling?
Honestly, my heart broke. I found out quite early this morning, just kind of inside loop. But seeing it become official, Triple J posting it, that's when my heart officially broke. I was like, whoa, it's official. And yeah, this has been a goal of mine for my whole musical life is I wanted to play Splendor in the Grass. It's our Glastonbury, it's our Coachella. And I'm literally getting goosebumps thinking about like kind of how sad I am about this.
And I mean, for you specifically, like you've just had your debut album come out, as you said, it had been a dream for a long time. What did Splendor specifically 2024 mean for you?
It was a chance to play my record. It was a chance. It's a local show. I literally have told all my friends, I'm like, you don't need to come to my Brisbane show. Just wait. I'm playing Splendor in the Grass. You know, it meant so much to me because this is my hometown as well. So the community's heartbroken. I know that for a fact. It's, you know, winter tourism for Byron Bay and the Northern Rivers. So it's really hard because we've got a lot of friends who own businesses and restaurants, and they are going to feel the brunt of this just as much as the musicians, the crew, everyone behind the scenes at Splendor in the Grass. It's really, really sad. I just want to send my love to everyone who's affected, who's been affected, who's going to be affected by this. And I really hope that our industry is going to look up sometime soon, and don't know how that is going to happen, but Australia is strong and I know we'll get through this. The Australian music industry is strong. We've got strong musicians in it. So hopefully this isn't the end, and it's just a little rock bottom at the moment, and hopefully it'll get back up soon.
Keita Alexander, thank you so much for coming on Hack.
Thank you for having me.
And Queensland duo The Dregs were also on the lineup. They were meant to be playing the main stage for the first time this year, and they're with us now too. Paddy McRae and Zane Harris from The Dregs, thanks for coming on Hack. How are you two feeling about today's news?
Devastated.
Yeah, super devastated.
We were having a pretty stock standard good day. Yeah, to receive this information, we were pretty bummed out.
And can you tell me, how did you receive it? Like, how much heads up did you guys have?
Not too much. We got a call from management being like, oh, boys, drop what you're doing, jump on this phone call. And then it would have only been 5 minutes later we saw Triple J's post. So it was pretty, it all came crashing down pretty quick.
You guys have played Splendor before, but this year would have been your first year playing on the main stage, right? I mean, how much were you looking forward to that?
It's been a dream of ours for so long. I suppose it's a dream to play that stage for many upcoming Australian artists. You know, we had our run in 2019, part of the Global Village. They were nice enough to give us a slot. It was so fun. And then that was just sort of the taste. And then when we got the news early this year that we were playing main stage, we were like, oh my goodness, this is incredible. This is awesome. We were really stoked, and I think that's kind of added to the the bummed out nature of it all.
We had so much planned for the show too. We had that whole band. We had
pyrotechnics.
We had the lot. So I was like, yeah, very devastated to not be able to, you know, it was going to be the biggest show of our career yet, I think. We're shaping up to be at least maybe next year.
Playing on that main stage at Splendor, as you said, so many Australian artists would look forward to that, especially, you know, in their younger years. Playing on that main stage, what kind of exposure does that give you, and what potential opportunity to sort of catapult you into success does it have?
There's quite a few occasions where that's happened for artists in the past where they've played a stellar live set at main stage, and it's sort of been that slingshot moment for them. It's funny, you know, we sort of the news kind of came in two waves, where so, you know, when we got the you know, when we were told that we're playing main stage, we're like, oh, this is sick. And it wasn't until sort of later on that, you know, talking to management, where we kind of realized the gravity of the situation, where this could have been the moment that we could, you know, we could play this stage, and that could be the thing that just slingshots us. And I think that stage has a magic about it. There's a vibe about, you know, there's a vibe in the whole festival as is, but that stage just has a magic about it. And I think if you do it right, it can be the thing that really does well for you.
This is Hack. I'm Ellie Grounds, and I'm speaking with Zane and Paddy from The Dregs about Splendor's cancellation that's been announced today. I mean, Zane and Paddy, someone in our office, one of my colleagues earlier said, I feel like the main thing I do at Triple J these days is talk about festival cancellations. Is that how it feels for you?
You know, as an Australian artist or band or whatever, you sort of look towards these Australian festivals and you're always like, oh, we need to get on this lineup. It's just, it's so sad that the industry is suffering so much right now with all these cancellations. And it's really scary, to be completely honest. Like, you know, these crazy lineups that are getting announced and everything for it just to all get cancelled, like, you know, in the blink of an eye is terrifying.
It's important now more than ever that we need to band together as Australians and support Aussie artists and the Australian music industry. It's so important. You know, we need to be buying tickets to those smaller up and coming bands at your local pub. You know, we need to be taking those risks and going to see those artists we might never ever heard of, or, you know, allowing our friends to force us to go to shows to see bands that they might have liked.
I mean, and you said that, you know, you do this to make a living. If you take festivals out of it and the money that you earn from festivals, how does your financial situation look? Like, is the money that you get from streaming and from your own tours, is that enough?
We were just talking about this before, you know, like, and if festivals and, you know, our live shows were to go down as people not buying tickets and that, even though there's only two of us, our streams still aren't really enough to afford to keep doing music. So we as artists rely on live music and live shows and people coming to shows, buying merch, all that sort of stuff to survive. So it's a really scary time.
And so what's going to be next for you over the next couple of days or next week to sort of recalibrate?
Yeah, we're going to South Africa tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. we're going over to play a festival in South Africa, and then we come back and just do a couple of, you know, album release shows, because we're just about to drop our album and stuff. So hopefully we're lucky they're all sold out. But, yeah, we're really trying to focus on touring as we always have.
All right. Well, best of luck with the festival in South Africa and with the tour. Paddy McRae and Zane Harris from The Dregs, thanks for coming on Hack.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for having us.
Now, Hack has reached out to Splendor's organisers today, asking them to come on the show. They said no and directed us to the official statement on their Instagram. But Splendor is a member of the Australian Festival Association. Its managing director is Mitch Wilson, and they're with me now. Mitch, thanks for coming on Hack.
Thanks for having me.
You work very closely with Splendor's organisers. What do you know about why they've cancelled this year?
Oh, I think we have seen the whole industry facing the same challenges. We're seeing costs up 30 to 40% across the board, and ticket sales just aren't where they need to be to cover those costs. You know, I think people aren't buying tickets in the same way as well. So it's a real perfect storm that's facing the industry at the moment. And we need everyone working together. We need government at the table. We need the whole industry across the music industry. And we need punters to come and understand the challenges and sort of work to make it a success.
And a lot of people, when they're talking about ticket sales for this year, they're talking about the lineup. We've had a lot of people comment on our Instagram saying, you know, with that lineup, we expected that ticket sales weren't going to go well. Someone on Instagram, with that lineup, it was bound to happen. What's your response to that? Do you think Splendor got this year's lineup wrong?
Oh, I think Australian festivals are really struggling at the moment because of the strength of the Australian dollar. Like, it's actually not that attractive at the moment, given where the dollar's at, for an artist to come all of this way. And travel costs are through the roof. So it's actually really, really difficult for us to compete against so many other events that are happening in the Northern Hemisphere. You know, Europe, the US, so close to each other, so many events that have been waiting to happen since the pandemic. And it's just really hard for us to compete.
And I mean, the tickets have only been on sale for 1 week. That was, you know, seems to some people maybe a really quick decision to make. Why wouldn't they let it go a little bit longer to see if some more tickets were sold? Why did they just decide to pull the plug?
Yeah, well, I think this is getting into the nitty-gritty of the economics of a festival. But the longer you leave your tickets on sale, the more costs you're going to be up for. And festival promoters are usually pretty good at knowing how ticket sales are going when they've got, you know, history to compare to. So if you can tell that the level of sales are at, you know, in the first couple of weeks, it's pretty indicative of sort of where things are going to get to. And we haven't seen that real late surge in ticket buying, maybe around New Year's or specific events where people are, you know, looking for things to do. But overall, like, festivals aren't seeing a huge late surge in tickets. It's more of a drip feed. And if you don't get that really big level of ticket sales in the beginning, it's hard to recover.
Mitch, your job is festivals. You do this every day. You live and breathe them. In the last not even 12 months, we've had Falls taking a year off. We've had Groove in the Moo cancel, now Splendour, plus so many others. Is this the end of music festivals for Australia?
Well, I hope not. I think Australian music festivals are something that what is so unique. We've got the climate, we've got the space. And, you know, people want to go to them. I think we need a couple of years to work out what audiences want. I think there's been a real change. We're seeing 18 to 25-year-olds buying fewer tickets now than the same age group before the pandemic. That's a huge problem for the entire live music industry. If young people aren't coming out to buy tickets to events, we've got to work out what that is. But also, like, if we want to see our favourite festivals continue, we need people to buy tickets earlier when they go on sale. I know cost of living pressures are, you know, facing us all, but if we just all need to work together. We're calling on governments across the country to come to the table. You know, the federal government has a live music grants that are not funded beyond the current budget. We call on them to extend that in the current budget and increase the amount of funding available because, yeah, the pressures aren't going down.
And Splendour, in their announcement today, has just said it's taking this year off. You know, it hasn't said Splendour's gone for good. But realistically, do you think Splendour will be able to come back next year, or was last year the last Splendour we would have ever seen?
No, I hope not. I think we need everyone working together. If governments come out with substantial funding for the sector, if ticket sales improve, you know, we've got a research on music festivals coming out from Creative Australia next month. Hopefully that'll indicate some of the other challenges that we're facing. Like, if we can sort of have everyone come together, you know, put funding on the table, I don't think that it's the end of festivals at all.
Alrighty, Mitch Wilson from the Australian Festival Association. I know it's been a busy day for you, so we appreciate you coming on Hack. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks.
And heaps of messages coming from you on the text line. Someone says, as a punter, it's hard because we delay buying tickets in case it gets cancelled and festivals cancel due to low ticket sales. Seems hard for both parties to win. The government needs to step in. Someone else saying, it's pretty simple why people aren't going to festivals. No one has any effing money anymore. Now, you've just heard from an industry insider there about what they think about the future of festivals. But what about someone who looks at this for a living? We're going to speak to Dr. Sam Whiting. He studies the live music industry. He's a lecturer in creative industries at the University of South Australia. Sam, thanks for coming on Hack.
Thanks for having me.
Did you see this Splendour cancellation coming?
I didn't see Splendour being cancelled coming, but I think we are seeing the end of this multi-genre, multi-festival programming style. There's something for everyone. More eclectic approach to programming where you've got Kylie, you've got drill rappers, you've got hardcore bands, you've got indie pop. I think that is wearing thin with audiences. And I think it's mainly because of the way that we're consuming music these days. It's a much more curated niche approach. We're accessing music through online digital platforms rather than that sort of mass media consumption through radio or music television. And I think it's kind of pushing audiences two ways, one on one end to more mainstream taste, but also on the other end to more niche taste. So I think festivals still have a future, but they're going to look very different.
And I mean, this seems like a huge domino effect, right? Like in less than 12 months, we've had Falls Festival saying that they were taking a year off. We had Groove and the Moo cancel their festival and now Splendor. I mean, why is it that all of these events suddenly seem like they're collapsing in such a short amount of time?
Low demand, I would say, on the outset. So the cost of living crisis, the wages and housing crises are hitting young people the hardest, and they are being much more careful with their spending habits. I also think post-COVID audience behaviours has just fundamentally changed, especially with young people. So they're much more likely to save up and splurge on a Taylor Swift ticket than go to a few music festivals across the year. So that level of passion is still there for music, but they're saving it for specific artists. And then on the supply side, I think promoters are carrying a lot of debt from COVID. They're more risk averse. Public liability insurance is up. More extreme weather events due to climate change is increasing. And promoters are just more likely to pull the plug if their initial ticket sales are sluggish.
I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Taylor there because I wanted to ask, you know, we've seen some artists come to Australia recently, Taylor Swift, Fred Again, all the shows sold out. I was speaking to some artists before who were meant to be playing at Splendor, who are obviously disappointed now, but they said, you know, their own tours are sold out. Is this a festival-specific thing? Are people's tours immune from this?
I don't think it's a festival-specific thing. I think it's an audience-specific thing. The way we consume music is so much more curated. Major artists, those that can cut through the zeitgeist, they're still going to have a massive audience, as are genre-specific artists that kind of instill that loyal passion. I'm thinking like heavy metal, hip-hop, electronic dance music. Those genres that inspire really fervent fandom, those genres are still going to have an audience even in the festival market. But yeah, I think people are just being a bit more discerning with their taste and therefore more discerning with their spending.
Is this kind of, you know, mass cancellation that it feels like is happening in Australia, is it happening overseas as well?
Not so much. And I think that's a lot to do with our particular economic situation at the moment. One thing that I haven't heard discussed a lot today is the depreciating Australian dollar. Our Australian dollar is quite low at the moment. So a lot of these artists, you know, they can get a lot more bang for their buck if they're touring the US or Europe, because costs of those international artists coming over here, they're just not going to, their money is just not going to go as far. I think audience behaviors are shifting on the whole, as I spoke to before, in terms of the way we're pursuing more niche tastes, maybe not up for that kind of eclectic festival experience. But I think Australia is really suffering, and a lot of that is to do with our geography. You know, we have a very big country with centralized populations. Putting on these festivals in regional areas is extremely expensive. You've got to truck in skilled labor, infrastructure, equipment. Whereas when running these festivals in major areas in Europe and the US, because of the sort of political economy of those countries, it's much easier to access audiences, that labor, that infrastructure, that equipment, than it is to truck it in, which is what we have to do in Australia with a lot of these major festivals, especially Splendor.
All right, Dr. Sam Whiting, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for jumping on Hack.
Thanks for having me.
Hack on Triple J.
And so many responses to the Splendor news today. Someone says, a huge reason for me is ticket releases are too close together and artist lineup isn't announced until very close to the date of the festival. Someone else, I reckon people are apprehensive to pull the trigger on buying festival tickets after cancellations in previous years. Someone suggested maybe it's time the festival scene needs a revamp, swapping out massive crowd affairs for more intimate niche festivals that have cheaper prices and half the crowds. And someone's got something slightly positive, saying Party in the Paddock announced a few years ago it wasn't coming back, but it did. There is hope. That's all we've got time for on the Hack podcast today. Dave will be back with you tomorrow. See ya. Hack.